Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithtimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am delighted to introduce you to the lovely lady sitting next to me. You can't tell that she's lovely, but I can tell, and I'm going to tell you about it. Joe Pincushion.
Woohoo! What's up? How you doing? I'm so excited to be here, by the way.
Joe is visiting us from our... Do podcasts have, like, sister podcasts? They have, like, friend podcasts?
They have, like, podcast docking stations, and I just happened to leave mine, walk down the hall, and to enter your podcast. It's nice in here. It's silly.
Yeah, we have a...
Just some nice throw pillows, nice theme going on here. I like it.
Chains on the
wall. It's much, yeah. But you know what? It's much cleaner than mine. My pincushion podcast, they're messy. Yeah. Messy kids.
Yeah. Doritos bags everywhere.
Yes.
No. So. All right. So yeah. So Joe Pincushion is visiting us from the Pincushion podcast. And you and several other ladies sit and talk about sex and geekiness and our...
Everything fabulous.
Everything fabulous. Yeah. So you're like essentially the edgy, sex positive Geekadelphia.
Yeah. In a way, to me and Allie Harch, we are contributors of Geekadelphia. So I guess we bring that element to it. And Allie's the person I talk about geek topics, like we talk about girl gamers. We talked about the movie Wreck-It Ralph a few weeks ago. So there's the geek aspect of it. Then me and my friend Jackie Chipotle, she's a stand-up comedian. We talk about sex and relationships because, you know, I have that background in giving sex advice on a website called Things Women Want, which is interesting. And then my friend Michelle and I, we talk about politics or like anything weird going on in the news. So we try to cover all our bases. Try to appeal to everyone's little likings. But I like talking about sex a lot. So that's why I came here.
Oh, that's weird. I can't imagine wanting to do that.
Like, I know, every all the time.
That's weird. So just as a background for anybody who's like Geekadelphia, can you explain what that is?
Geekadelphia is the premier geek blog in Philadelphia. And the editor is Eric Smith. And he's on Twitter at Eric Smith Rocks. He's pretty cool. And we do things all around the city. You may have heard about the Geek Awards that happened in August. We were at that, and we give away awards to various, you know, startups in the city, professors that are making a difference in science in Philadelphia. So it's a really great, it's a great thing to give back to the community. And it's also a place, if you're a geek in Philly, to meet other geeks or to find out what's going on. Like, they blog about Dorian's Parlor, different movie screenings that are going on around Philadelphia. Like, that's how I met a lot of my friends. So Geekadelphia is the place to be. It's cool.
Like, I want to go, but, like, I don't play video games. Am I cool enough to be a geek?
I don't play video games. I'm not a gamer.
You're not?
Do you like horror movies?
Oh, yeah?
I love horror movies, and that's what I like dressing up in costume, cosplaying. Just because you didn't play video games doesn't mean you're not a geek. Like, I nerd out and I geek out on, like, pretty much, like, every Tim Burton movie. I dress up as, like, the TARDIS, and I love Doctor Who. Oh, nice. So okay. That's my claim to fame, apparently.
Okay, I feel like there is a geek renaissance going on. I feel like it is cooler to be a geek now than it ever has been in the past, much in the way that I feel like it's cooler to like cats than it used to be.
See, I don't know what's going on because everyone, they say, yeah, geek renaissance. Oh, is it geek and the hipster movement kind of have meshed into like one giant thing. I always, this is what every hipster is going to say, but I'm going to say it right now. I've always been a nerd. I was a nerd before it was cool. Like, in high school, I wore a necklace with pens on it because I just liked them and I wouldn't give them out to anyone. Like, how freaking nerdy is that? But I don't understand how people are... I think the embrace of media, like, movies are getting bigger and it's... I think the nerds have raised their own nerds with all, like, their movie references and games and the computer age. So that's why I think geeks are...
And the rise
we're evolving with technology and media. Media's just everywhere.
And there's so many different ways to contact people, like, mm-hmm. they previously weren't able to geek out and be like, I want to see these two characters do it, so I'm going to just write it.
I'm going to make a meme with a cat, a bow tie, and glasses, and it's going to be popular. Yay. Like, that's what the internet does. Yay. But, yeah, it's a geek, like, I don't know, are you sad that the geeks are inheriting the earth? I'm not.
No, of course not. And I, this is not nearly as sexual as I really think that we'll probably get eventually.
We will get to, I swear.
But like, I as a kid was a dork in like not the cool ways. Like I wasn't into the stuff that is geeky, I think, in the traditional list of things that geeks are into. I just wore like weird things and I was just an awkward kid. So like, there's lots of different types of
geeks. People do say that definition of geek is someone that is very passionate about certain things and they get very excited over certain things. So anything that you're passionate about and excited about.
I was a sex geek from the jump. Yeah.
There you
go. I was reading, you know, like the first time I found that book, it was like, you know, those period books that they have in the kids section of the library, you know, because they just have like a tiny handful because they're like, all right, we got to give them something. So give them a couple books that are like totally vague, but like telling you about how to have your period, like whatever.
See, I went to Catholic school, so it was it was completely vague. Like,
this was the public library.
The public library? Yeah. Oh, no, we didn't even, in Catholic school, it was you just pray until you get married and then you have sex.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
sounds like a great time, Catholic Church. But, there you go. You were a geek over
sex geek.
Stuff.
Yeah.
See? There
and
you are.
And then I was voraciously reading that kind of stuff. And then, like, everybody thought I was really weird because you're not supposed to do that. And then, of course, everybody assumes that, like, if you're talking about sex, you're absolutely doing everything you're talking about.
Yeah, that's not the case.
So, there's that. And I hung out with a kid that I had gone to high school with, and he was a couple grades behind me. And he had been a real dork in high school also, and he turned out to be awesome as an adult. And we were commenting on that. Like, you were, you know.
No, we have evolved.
You made like a 180. You're like super cool dude now.
If you look back through my Facebook profile pictures, I call it the evolution of hot. Like,
nice.
Go backwards and just be like, Joanna was not as good looking 5 years ago as she is right now. But like, it's in school, I had like long hair and I wore glasses and I was such a nerd. Then I got into like the goth phase. But then like, now we've become butterflies with like these hot people.
It's like
who are successful and confident.
I believe there's a fairy tale about all this.
There is.
With birds in it. But no, I want to go back to the story though. The kid from high school, I hung out with him and he was like, I asked, I said, what about me? When I was in high school, what did you perceive me as? He's like, yeah, well, we all thought you were like clearly a slut because you talked about sex all the time. But now that you have like the degree in it, like it's validating.
We just knew you just really, really liked learning about it.
Yeah. So it's all good.
That's good. Actually, that's funny. In high school, I had this, I didn't think about this until I started recently, like giving advice on sex and passionately writing about it. In high school, I had this printout of, I called it the Bible, and it was basically instructions on a gay man wrote on how to give the perfect blowjob.
Huh.
And I printed it out and I carried it around at school. And if any girl knew that she was going to eventually give her boyfriend a blowjob, they would come to me and be like, can I read that thing that you have? And I would give it out and be like, here, child, go take it and learn.
And spreading the good word.
I did. And people would like sit and read it. Anyone that went to O'Hara in 2003, they probably read that thing.
And there are a lot of young men from that time period who have you to
You're
thank.
Welcome, all right?
They owe you big.
You're welcome for that. But, it's funny that people do assume that you're slutty because you talk about sex and you want to educate people about sex, but that's really not the case. Like,
I mean, you can be.
Like, you can cool be. Too. It's perfectly fine. anyone can do as much as they want, but I would say I'm not the sluttiest person in the world.
I think, like, a perfect example would be, like, Nina Hartley,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, she has instructional videos. She can tell you a great deal more than a lot of educators. And you know that she also knows it because you can see lots of porn of her doing it.
Yeah,
so
there you
she's got the dual-edged.
I just discovered those instructional porn videos.
Oh, they're great stuff.
Like Ron Jeremy, like teaching people how to do stuff. And I was like, oh, I don't want Ron Jeremy teaching me how to do anything.
Not necessarily, no. I can also vouch for a lot of the Sinclair videos now are being made with the help of sexologists, of whom I am incredibly big fans. So I definitely recommend like those Better Sex series. Like, they have updated them in the last couple of years and they're now spectacular. Like, and they're real people, but they're hot and it's real sex. But it's really instructive. Like, so I actually think that when you see them on the side of the magazine and you're like, ah, this is advertising
no,
a magazine. I don't want this.
Take those. Yeah. Watch them. Yes. Learn. You can never. It's never too late to learn.
And I also recommend Sex Smart Films. We've talked about Mark Schoen on here before. Sex Smart Films is also a good place to learn all that stuff. And also your podcast. Let's talk about your podcast.
My podcast.
Yeah. So recently y'all talked about the worst messages on OkCupid.
Yes, we did a video of we were actually, here's how this came about. I cooked dinner for my friends, Michelle and Jackie. And we got drunk, and then we were just like, you know what? Let's go through our OkCupid messages. And we started telling each other, like, what people... And I was like, I got to record this. We have to read these out loud. Some of the things that people write... Like, I only read one of the messages, but it was, like, the longest, most poetic slash psychotic thing I've ever read. Like, the guy said that I was elegantly fuckable.
Ooh.
Which is nice. I mean, yeah. Okay, I'll take it. But his... His username was substance-abuse, and then, yeah.
I feel like I'm probably friends with this person.
And then, apparently, like 2 or 3 days after the video went up, he suspended his account.
Because
I did mention, like,
his name. Oh, you added him. No.
Oh, he's not on OkCupid anymore. Sorry, dude.
But this
don't make your username substance-abuse.
Is the Swiss cheese man still there?
There's a sweet no.
Oh my god.
Swiss cheese
okay.
Man?
So I've heard tales that he's still out there now, but he definitely was back in the day. A number of friends and I were all at OkCupid. I'm not on there anymore, but this guy was sending messages to seemingly every young woman on the Eastern Seaboard. And all of his pictures, he had a lot of pictures, and he would send you lots of pictures, were just from the waist to mid-thigh, and he was a very heavy gentleman, and all he was wearing was some Swiss cheese on his wiener.
Oh, my God.
And
I have not gotten Swiss cheese, man. I'm disappointed.
You should be, because it was kind of a rite
offended.
Of passage.
Yeah.
You know? And he was clearly seeking humiliation, and because, like, that was in his profile. He wanted people to write him and be like, you're disgusting, and that's gross.
I would have given him a nice hate-filled message. Oh, Swiss cheese, man.
Yeah,
he would have. Find me on OkCupid, and I'll send you... Angry, angry, nasty messages to you.
Oh, we can make it. It's like a misconnection situation.
There
yeah,
you go.
Maybe we can make this happen. But yeah, this was like 4 or 5 years ago. He was sending them to everybody. Like any female I interacted with who told me she was on OkCupid, I'm like, hey, hey. And they're like, yes. And then I heard recently that he's at it again because I have a good friend who regales her softball team with the tales of the stupidest messages that she's gotten recently.
But yeah, you know, OkCupid is just like a gold mine for that kind of shit. And we put together a little bit. We're looking for people to record themselves. If you would like to find anyone to record themselves and send in.
Ooh, yeah.
I want to keep making these videos because guys need to know it's not okay to send these messages to girls. Like,
so what is like the content of the objectionable ones, the bad ones? Like what is it that's bad about them?
One of the messages that Michelle got was, I have a bunch of condoms that are about to expire. What's your schedule? Like, I mean, these guys clearly aren't looking for like love, but still it's you're on a dating site and you're going to send a stranger these ridiculous messages with your photo attached to it. It's not going to be private. Like, just because you think that you're shrouded by the mystery of the internet doesn't mean we're not going to expose you.
So I want to talk to these guys. I want to find out, like, is this...
I want to find
an attempt to be funny?
Abuse. I want to ask him if he really thinks that my eyes are the gateway to, like, a soul or something. I don't know.
You lost your shot.
I did.
Man.
I ruined it. My soulmate gone.
Well, I mean, like, it's got to be hard to feel like you have to be the initiator and you are in just, like, this huge sea and you have to stand out.
My friend is telling me about how, like, how much he hates it. He doesn't get any messages. But statistically, it's the men that send out the messages and women sit back. And he's like, I don't know what to send. I don't know what to do. And first off, like I said to him, it's like, well, number one, your messages and your profile needs to be grammatically correct.
If, like, you want a smart girl.
Well, if you want, like, a girl that probably has all of her teeth, too. I mean, you would need to have some grammar on your profile. But it is, and he does ask me, like, do I take a sentence from her profile and copy and paste it into a message and then, like, ask a question about it? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. That's all you have to do. It is. It's just, it's impersonal. It feels like homework. I hate online dating, and I don't even know why I'm still trying.
I think OkCupid does actually a reasonably good job of trying to guide people, like, because they put up all that information.
Changed it, though.
Really?
They've changed. Okay. I changed my name. I used to go by Joe Pincushion on OkCupid, but I don't anymore because, like, people can Google that name now.
Yeah.
So I have a different name. So I've had a fairly new account because I got really bored during Hurricane Sandy. So after like about a month of having this account, I got an email saying that I've been upgraded to the hotter portion of OkCupid because I've gotten high ratings on my pictures.
Oh, nice.
So now I have access to hot guys on OkCupid. Because before it was just like, I'm sorry, guys. But like, I was like, where are all the hot dudes on OkCupid?
Oh, you couldn't see everybody?
No. So if you don't get high
ratings.
There's
like a mysterious hot person echelon?
Yeah. There's like a back. There's a VIP room.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like nice. All the hot people are hanging out.
You know, and there's dating sites just for that, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's like
OkCupid never did that before. I'd been on it since like 2004, 2005, on and off. And they never did that before. And I'm just like, I'm surprised at them. It's like hiding away the hot people so the ugly people can't get to them. That's just sad.
It is, because I mean, that's sort of dictating people's taste. Because what if somebody's preference is for something specific and it's not mm-hmm. what everybody else thinks is hot?
Like, yeah, what if some guy's just looking for a girl with one eyeball?
Well, I don't even necessarily mean that. I mean, like, you take something like, if you specifically are really into Indian women, but a lot of people, you know, are, like, not, you know, if you're... Well, if you look at the demographics, like, people tend to, like, have pretty predictable patterns of, like, yeah. who they reply to and who they don't. And a lot of it really does break down, like, racially. They've shown a few charts where it's, like, who gets the most replies from who based on... male, female, all the different races, you know, and like a big matrix. And
I bet the Asian women get like the highest hits, don't they? If it's a geek site,
I mean,
yeah.
Well, white women, pretty much. Yeah, white women and Asian women tend to do pretty well. And I think that it was Asian men and black women get the least. And then there were predictable patterns of like who was most likely to contact them. But that's actually like a pattern in general dating, like yeah. that there are certain groups that are more.
I mean, do you feel like this online dating phenomenon is just like taking away the interpersonal like chemistry between people? I feel like, I don't know. It's just an algorithm spitting people at me.
Well, it depends on what you're in it for, because if you want chemistry, like that is an in-person thing. It just mm-hmm. absolutely is. But for like long-term relationships, you ultimately do have to have, like, enough shit in common. Like, you have to be able to...
But do you think you can get a long-term relationship over OkCupid? I don't know. Not these
yeah,
days.
Yeah, I know folks who have gotten married who met on OkCupid.
I know people that have dated online and gotten together, and I hate them. Fuck them and their happiness. I've had nothing but, like, terrible people on OkCupid and
but
online
it gives
dating.
You all this material.
It does. So I get to talk about them wherever I am. And Match.com's not even a step up at all.
Well, that's specifically for people who are looking for, like, serious business, right?
No, not necessarily.
Really?
I went on a date on Match.com date, and the guy was a little crazy. So, I mean, I would think there would be more, like, psychotically together people on Match.com, but apparently not. They're just, they're everywhere.
I think crazy people exist in all spaces, yeah. internet and non.
Yeah. they're mostly on the internet, though.
So then on your next one, you're talking about bad sex, right?
Yes, the next episode is going to go up Wednesday. We're going to try to give you advice on how to tell your partner that they're bad in bed.
Okay.
And or try to, you know, steer them towards the right directions on how to get better in bed.
Okay.
I like the approach of trying to be positive about it and be like, oh, I love it when you, like, make out with me. How about you put your mouth here and do that instead? Or, like, giving direction before being like, look, you really suck at giving head. Like, that feel like that would just, like, crumble people's worlds
yeah.
apart.
Yeah, there's no benefit to saying that somebody sucks at something unless they're supposed to be sucking something.
Giggity.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a really touchy subject because you can't tell. It's so hard to tell people that they're bad in bed.
That's, oh, like, yeah. That's an ultimate ego bruising, like, that you can't come back from.
No.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's, I think you're totally right. It's all positive reinforcement and, you know, classical conditioning, like.
And hopefully they'll learn. They'll, like, if I make out with a guy and he's not a good kisser, I'm not worried about it. I can train them. Like, yeah. Oh, kissing's easy.
How do you train in kissing?
You can totally do that. Like, right. If you make out with a guy for a while, you can totally let them know what you like based on movements. Or you can even say it. I'm a big fan of just being like, look, this is what I like and this is what I don't like.
Okay. And that usually works? Like, people can adapt to that?
Yes and no. Like, it depends on the person. Like, sometimes I've told guys, like, that I'm into S&M and stuff like that, and they'd be like, oh, no. I'd be like, oh, come on. You said American Psycho was your favorite movie. That's a fucking lie. God, Christian Grey. Where's Christian Grey?
Maybe they just really liked seeing all the push-ups, and they really like Huey Lewis in the News.
I guess so.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a spectacular movie, though.
It is. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. But like, I've learned a lesson. If a guy says he identifies with Patrick Bateman, you run.
I think that's fair.
You run as far away as you possibly can.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay.
But not because they'll murder you, just because they're probably a little bit nuts. But yeah, I in terms of like in talking to guys, it's so hard. It's guys want someone that's very outspoken and independent and confident, but I feel like every time I run across someone and I tell them like exactly like I want A, B, and C, they're always like they clam up and they don't know what to do. They're like, oh my God, someone that actually speaks her opinion and knows what she wants. Then their heads explode. Then I have a mess to clean up. It's terrible.
So is it like an intimidation thing? Like, will I be able to hang with this?
Apparently I'm very intimidating. Do you find me intimidating? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Like, I'm not scared you're going to hurt me. I don't know.
Yes. No, that's the thing right I get. Is everyone
should be.
You should be. I mean, after all, I am wearing a hatchet around my neck.
Okay. Well, it's also just weird seeing you with clothes on.
Oh, I know. You're one of the only people who's used to seeing me naked in the past few months. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're cool like that. So the background story on that. Some of y'all may recall from a few weeks ago, we talked to Miss Rose about naked girls reading in Philadelphia.
Miss Rose is awesome.
Yeah. She's genius in bringing her own particular brand of art to Philly.
I feel
like
her brain
else.
Is also covered in glitter too. I mean, just like everything,
like every other part of her.
Yeah, glitter. It's so smart and it's so glittery, and that's why I love Miss Rose's brain. Yes. So.
And so you were involved in the naked girls reading.
I was.
And how did that go?
It was the event was awesome. I had a great time. I'd never done anything like that before. Nudity was always something that I never kind of wanted to do because the thing with me is like I like to be sex positive and things like that, but I want people to like be more into my brain than my boobs. I mean, I guess I don't know if I'm winning that battle. So my cosplay has always gotten like to the edge of risque or nudity, but I never like crossed it. And Miss Rose came up to me and she's like, you should do naked girls reading, like when she first started doing it. And I was like, I don't know. I've never done nudity. I'll think about it. And then I went to the first event and it was awesome. It was just a bunch of girls standing on stage naked reading literature. And it wasn't fully about the nudity. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm in my 20s. When am I going to look like this ever again? I'm going to stand in front of a bunch of people naked and I'm going to read J.D. Salinger and David Sedaris. And that was, it was very liberating, I would say.
You killed it. Also, BT dubs.
I killed it?
Yeah, the Sedaris thing was one of the funniest things I've ever heard anybody read in general. And then also naked.
I was so nervous about that. I was working on a movie as a production assistant before, and I had the book and I was like taking notes. Like Miss Rose even saw all my notes. I had notes. I was practicing it like every day. Like part of the reason I did this was because I am an actress, and it's just like, all right, am I going to be able to do this, stand in front of people, act, and be completely naked? And actually what happened with the David Sedaris section was I forgot I had no clothes on. Like, it got to, like, people, when I got the first laugh, it was like, all right, I'm on stage now, I'm doing a character. And when I do that, I forget, like, everything else that's going on, and I just embody what I'm doing. And it's just, like, it was great. And now I feel like nothing can hold me back in terms of acting, because I did that completely naked. And I think people, like, even listening to me, like, sure, it's me standing in front of them naked, but after a while, they were actually, like, listening to what I was saying and, like, picturing the characters in their heads. So I felt like that level of accomplishment was really awesome. So
I just love the whole concept of it. Like everything from the fact that it's so edgy for the sake of edge and just like nudity. It's what burlesque is about. Mm-hmm. It's about like subverting paradigms because like literature and then salaciousness and like the nature of what you're reading isn't necessarily like sexy,
mm-hmm.
but there is like a naked chick, you know, and it's just how are we all going to feel about this and how are we going to react to it? And I think it's a great litmus test.
It is. It's interesting because, like, when you stand out on the stage and you have your robe on at first and then Miss Rose says, "And now welcome to Naked Girls Reading," and then you take your robes off, you hear people, and it's not like a, "Woohoo, yeah, boobs, pussy." It's like people are, it's like quiet. They're like, "Ooh," and you know that they're saying.
And
like,
they're way more nervous, I think, yeah, than the people on stage.
One of my best friends was sitting in the front row, and he was there just to support me. He didn't want to see me naked. Like, he didn't want to do it at all. And he's like standing in the front row and his like face is red. He's like, "Oh, I can't believe I'm here looking at you naked. You're like my sister." Like, but it was, there is like a tension on stage because I think it's a mixture of guys and girls in the audience too. So I think they're there for the experience as much as the people on stage are there for the experience. But yeah, I told one of my friends to sit in the back and go, "Damn," when I stood up. I don't think she did. But I just liked how the reaction was very murmured and you could hear it and it was there, but it wasn't like catcalling, like how other burlesque shows are. Like, you just have to, when I go see Bravissimo Burlesque, I have to like be like, "Woohoo, yeah, boobies." I do yell boobies every once in a while, but it's just, I feel like it's like burlesque, like vacuumed in on itself, I guess is what it is. And I think that's part of the reason. It's like baby steps for me. I don't know if I'd ever get to like the point of actually doing burlesque, but yeah, that was, being completely naked in front of people was really interesting.
And did you have any negative results?
I did. My parents found out about it, and I knew they were going to find out about it because like I said, yeah, I'm like trying to make a personality for myself. I'm trying to get myself out there online as a writer and a performer and stuff like that. So, and I'm not the kind of person to hide anything from anyone. My mother read my blog and I had written a wrap up piece on what it felt like to, go through this. And my mother wanted to disown me. She was very upset. She wanted me to do a public apology to like everyone. And, it's hard because like, I love my parents so much and they give me so much, and it's, we don't see eye to eye. We see so differently, and because they're very conservative, very Catholic, and I'm not.
What did they want you to apologize for?
I don't
for?
Know. My mom felt very embarrassed, so which was kind of heartbreaking. But I started to put together an apology, but I ended up never doing it because it was just been me being sarcastic, because that's just what I do. But like, in a way, I am sorry that I didn't tell them I was going to do it. Mm. I am sorry that, because like, if I told them, they would have told me no, and I would have told them no, and then that would have been like another thing. So I just did it. Yeah, I'm more sorry that I didn't tell them. I'm not sorry that I did it. I'm very happy that I did it. But now I think my mother's like, my mother and father and I have agreed that I'm going to give them a heads up whenever I do something that they might not agree with. So, but that's not necessarily a like asking for permission. So, letting the little girl.
So I'm trying to wrap my mind around this vantage point, and like, I can immediately picture lots of conservative people being upset about nudity, specifically like their family members being nude, mm-hmm. or whatever. But just trying to get into that headspace,
I think about it, I'm a little bit happy that my mom freaked out as much as she did, because if she didn't, that means she wouldn't really care as much as she does. But it's just, she doesn't I was like, "Mom, it's art. It's an art piece. I wasn't doing anything like lewd. I wasn't even reading anything lewd," which is what I wouldn't do. But she's just like, "I don't think that's art." I'm like, "Okay, fine. You don't think it's art." It's just, she's still mad, a little bit mad about it.
I'm really like glad that people are upset, only because that is the point. Like, as long as mm-hmm. it's something controversial, then that's what makes it interesting. And like, yeah, the fact that there is a remaining taboo just around nudity, just like a human body being there, and like, that is necessary. The irony is that that level of like body shaming and fear of nudity,
yeah,
and fear of sex,
understand,
is required
it.
For sex to be as particularly interesting as it is. I mean, it's interesting on its own, but like
I didn't understand it. I was just like, I was just, it's like, to me, it was a little bit more upscale than me going to a nude beach.
Okay.
Like, okay. For, like, sure, I'll go to a nude beach and other people will see me naked. I just happen to be standing on stage with three other naked women. And that's how I saw it. But it's just like, people are so afraid of putting sex out there and making it part of everyday conversation and making it within reach. And I don't understand why. I feel like if we were more open about it with teenagers, particularly more open about it, talk about it. And if they knew about it since a small age, I think they would make better decisions.
And the double standard of what is acceptable and what is not also is what drives me fucking bananas. I remember Jon Stewart's book America came out, and one of the images in it got people really riled up, and I think at Walmart particularly, because they suck anyhow, but there was a bunch of pictures of, it was the heads of all the Supreme Court justices on naked bodies, and these are like old bodies that would be pretty comparable to like what the Supreme Court justices probably do look like naked, but it's just, you know, it's just like regular people, and that made stores flip their shit. They're like, you cannot have naked bodies in a book? What is wrong with you?
Oh, God.
And so they would have like a sticker over that page, or they couldn't even sell a book in the store, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't really watch a whole lot of TV, but like if it's on, like 10 minutes doesn't pass before like some hot bitch is in like her underwear or her fucking bikini, like to sell me beer or like shaving lotion or something. And it's like, it's everywhere, but only in a very, very small corridor. Like, only specific bodies are allowed to be seen, and I can't fucking avoid them, even if I want to. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't have a problem with seeing them, but, like, we know for a fact that having that really, really narrow particular brand of beauty is actually really hurtful to people. We have social science evidence that makes people feel shitty about themselves to only see that.
I think there's something that's going around the internet right now about a woman talking about a female portrayal of body image in media, and how... we're trying to Photoshop and all those things, like make women, even the acceptable forms of nudity that are on television, they're not real. Those women aren't real. So I don't know, the fact that people getting upset about, and the thing that I really loved about Naked Girls Reading, everybody had different body types. Just like the fact that people would get upset about just like natural women standing in front of people naked is like, rattles my cage, I guess is what I was trying to say. I don't understand the backlash to it. I think it's a great event. I think everyone should go. It was last night, right? You guys did.
Yeah, there was a Neil Gaiman reading last night at Philomoka, and the next one will be in, I guess, January, because it's every other month.
What's the theme for January?
Science fiction.
Oh, no. It's my birthday month, and it's January. Maybe I'll do it again.
I think I know what you're doing. No, that's awesome.
I'll read some Doctor Who fan fiction completely naked. Oh, my God. That'd be amazing. Doctor Who and Harry Potter fan fiction completely naked.
And I know that, like, specifically Naked Girls Reading has to be girls. Like, that's the nature of that event as Michelle L'Amour created it and everything. But, like...
I'd like to see some naked dudes reading.
Would that go over? And it probably wouldn't be able to charge as much at the door.
No.
I'm going to just guess. I'm just going to say that.
I don't know if it would get as big of a draw. I'm sorry, guys, but...
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That makes me sad.
Well, I mean... I would be really self-conscious for those guys. If it was cold on that stage and they're up there naked, I mean, they're not showing me the best side of them. So I can understand that.
I don't know. How many dudes would be willing to do that? Like, dudes that will strip down and run around and be like, whoa, like, because they're drunk.
See,
and like,
you
they'll
know
run
what?
Around.
The thing about that, though, I think if a bunch of dudes did it, it would be funny.
Oh, yeah. Male nudity has to be funny.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't want to see funny penis. I want to see sexy, smart, reading cool things penis. I don't want, like, guys going up there reading, like, Mad Magazine naked. Like, no. We got to get, like...
Yeah, all the male nudity that comes to mind is, like, so, you know, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of that nature. And also, like, you get to see Ewan McGregor every once in a while naked for a millisecond or two.
Those wonderful milliseconds.
Yeah, but like not a lot of just sexy scene male nudity unless it's specifically a porn.
They show a lot of butt on TV now. Yeah. Though. American Horror Story, Evan Peters. I've seen his ass like so much and I'm so happy about it. Thank you, Ryan Murphy.
And Roger Sterling. See
yeah.
a little bit
oh,
of
Oh, yeah. That one too. Like, that, I guess we're getting some. I mean, I'd like them to turn around at some point, but maybe.
What will happen to the
world? A
girl can
dream.
What will happen to the world when, like, ABC... you like tune in to watch ABC and they do the turnaround and there's actually like some frontal. Is that ever gonna happen?
Well, I don't know. Maybe ABC will start showing some boobies soon. I mean, BBC shows boobies.
Hmm.
I wish I lived over there because like their television is significantly more entertaining than ours. I think
nudity is just like more of just a thing, which it is.
Yeah, well,
in
they
real
don't
life.
Even. I don't even think it's like that big of a deal. Like if someone sees a pair of tits on the TV in London, they're like, oh look, there's tits again. I guess I'll have some more tea and biscuits. Like they see it all the time.
Pass the Jemmy Dodgers, will you?
But if you know, there's boobs on American TV, like. People be like, oh, the children.
I will never forgive.
Think about the children.
Justin Timberlake for the shit that Janet Jackson got.
Oh, my God. I remember where, you know, those like Pearl Harbor things, like where were you on Pearl Harbor? I remember where I was during the Super Bowl. Okay. I was on the guys floor of LaSalle's dorm rooms watching the game. I'm the only person watching the halftime show because all the guys are like, fuck this to Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. I don't want to watch this. So I'm the only female in the room watching it. And then all of a sudden he rips off her thing and you hear down the hallway all these guys go, what? No, the guy in the room was like, what'd I miss? What'd I miss? It's like, you guys missed Janet Jackson's boob because I was watching it. But yeah, I remember that reaction. I was like, oh my God. But now like the FCC totally cracks down on everything.
And is there like a delay or something now?
We will never see any boob ever again. She had like, a really cool nipple piercing, too. I
yeah,
remember that.
It was
sun.
Epic. It was like a sun. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Oh, that's so sad. And, like, the amount of shit that she got for that, and then not that much long after, right around the same time, like, he did that video where it's clearly about Britney Spears.
Yeah,
and his
Crimea River.
Yeah, and he's clearly stalking her and mm-hmm. breaking into her house and watching her shower. And, like, it's so... antisocial behavior. It's actually bad. It is something that is actually bad and illegal. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Do any of them give a shit about the message for the kids on that? Does anybody give a damn about all the little boys watching that and getting the idea that it like, no, but if you're really into her, if you were dating her, it's acceptable. It's
yeah.
totally cool.
Yeah. I mean, if you really loved her, you would break into her house and watch her shower if she just wasn't working, yeah. guys.
But just don't show any tit. No. In the shower, because
that would upset everyone.
Fragile little minds. Yeah, I'm mad at that. Let's go back to S&M. Where I won't be as mad.
We'll
yeah.
talk about S&M.
Let's talk about S&M.
What about S&M? I'm interested in it. I think it's an interesting culture. We did talk about on our podcast last week the hard limits that I have.
Okay.
As opposed to my partner, Jackie Chipotle, my sidekick, she likes, you know, the words like whore and she likes a little bit of humiliation aspect of it. Whereas I respond more to positive encouragement.
You're a good girl.
Yeah. I do like that one. But I mean, and the other hard limits are no bodily fluids that don't naturally happen during sex. I don't want anybody to like...
So no, like blood?
No blood. Please okay. don't cut me open. Just, okay. No. And then the other, the German, like, porn specification.
Scheiße.
Any guy that, like, asks me to do that, I would just be like, oh, and I'm gone. Get out of my house.
Aww.
Well, it's just, I'm sorry. That's like a hard limit for me. Like, I can't look you in the face after that if you ask me to do that. So, guys, be aware.
She will only go so far.
It will only go so far. But actually...
All right, so what if you're with somebody for like 5 years and you love them mm-hmm. like deeply?
Really
it's,
love
it's
them.
Passionate. You're compatible like in every way, like emotionally and socially and intellectually.
Okay.
And you've been together. You're clearly committed to this person in the long term. And he's kept it up this whole time, has not mentioned it. And then finally goes, all right, Joe. Been together for 5 years and it's my birthday. And here's something that I think I really want to do.
He wants birthday shits. Is that what he wants?
Yeah, and he'll even do it through glass. Like, you can even do it through glass. Like, he got a coffee table and everything.
No.
And so,
I would buy him a prostitute.
Either direction. Like, either the giving or the being under the coffee table. Either one.
No.
Not happening?
I would allow number one in the shower. If it's all those specifications, five years, loves me, is a great guy. Yeah. I will buy a hooker for him.
For the
be like, yeah, go ahead, go have fun. You do that. And I'll be upstairs watching, you know, Doctor Who and then not listening to what's going on down here. See, I love him. That's a compromise.
Yeah. That is, I think, a huge amount of compromise.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a relationship and I was given any circumstance that I didn't feel I could fulfill it, I'd be like, you go find it one night, go have fun, and then come back, and that's fine. Just don't, now go upstairs and watch Doctor Who, is basically what I'll say. I mean, you have to have compromise. Like some girls, they do have, like, hard limits, and then they'll be like, no, you can't go find it anywhere else. Like, if you have a lasting relationship with someone that you really trust and really respects you, you should want to make them happy. And if you can't do that, then you should find another way to make them happy in, like, a nice mutual way. So I would buy my hypothetical 5-year boyfriend a hooker so he can poop on her. Yes.
Happy birthday to you.
She has to say happy birthday. Yeah. She put a candle in it. Light it. Just don't ask me to be involved.
You eat the birthday cake like 5 hours ahead of time.
Give him laxatives for his birthday. There you go, sweetie. Have fun.
I part of me almost said, I wish I knew more about that so I could give actual details on, like, what are the, how do you plan for that? You know, like, because not everybody's like clockwork. I mean, how do you make that happen? But then the other part of my brain's like, I don't know that I really do want to know that information.
Well, I mean, if you do take things to, like, help things move around faster,
yeah,
it's going to get messier.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I've spoken to some people who, you know,
if you're into that, mind you, if you're into that, that's fine. I'm not, like, making fun of anyone that isn't into that, but no, it's just not my cup of tea.
No, and I lack the information, and people are not super upfront about that stuff necessarily when you meet them. So,
no.
I mean, I've asked folks when we've gotten to a certain point in just discussion, these are just friends and acquaintances and stuff, and they'll tell me about enemas and things of that nature, and they'll give me the details that they've learned through experience, and a lot of it's I wish that there was more dialogue so people didn't have to learn through a series of unfortunate experiences. Yes,
that wonderful childhood book.
Yes, exactly.
It tells you all about defecating on your partner.
But S&M isn't
no, it's not that. No, S&M is no, not just that. Well, the thing I like most about S&M is the power aspect of it, the submission and domination of it. Like I said, I'm a huge control freak. I work very hard. Everything that I do, I have to have final say in. But when it comes to sex, I don't want to think. I just want someone just to give me what he wants and know what I want and give it to me. Like, it's just a stress reliever. Like, I feel like it's a cop out. Be like, oh, I'm a sub. I don't have to make any decisions in this. You just do whatever you want.
Well, yeah, I think that's a really big misunderstanding a lot of people have, is they think that to be the dom is to have the easy job because you don't have to take the pain. But they have to do all the thinking.
Yeah.
And they have to do the work. Like, the sub is getting
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. And all she or he has to do is just say a word, and then if she can't handle it. So, I mean, that's all. Because even when I have sex, like, I don't remember my own name sometimes. So it's good to have just one word in my vocabulary when that's happening.
You just have the one, like, you don't have, like, a whole spectrum. Because, like, I recommend to a lot of folks when they're just playing around with it to have, to have, like, a red, yellow, green.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could actually use red, yellow, green if that was easiest for you. But, you know, your hard stop safe word, you're something that is, like, all right, you're going to stay here or scale back. but no further, but not stopping the action.
That's great advice.
Yeah, so like yellow would be like, all right, you know, like I'm enjoying it here. I will not enjoy it past this point. Mm-hmm. So backing up to this point. And then, you know, green or whatever your variation on that would be like full speed ahead, Captain.
So aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Yeah. That's a good idea. So I've used like the safe word and then it's, everything has stopped and I'd be like, you want to go make a sandwich or something?
And then it just like ends the whole deal.
It does. So you do have to scale that back. That's fun. But in terms of other things of S&M, I'm trying to think why else I enjoy it. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's the whole, I don't, losing control thing. And I, in order to get to this point with someone, like, I have to really trust them because it's giving them all my power. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, like, people think S&M is just like, oh, it's dirty and it's not, like, it's not what you do with, like, a wholesome boyfriend. And I'm like, no, it is. Because it's like, I'm trusting this person enough to, like, put, you know, myself in their hands, essentially. And I think that's, like, one of the most loving things you can do with your partner is to give yourself to them 100%. I feel like that's what S&M does.
Yeah, I was at the Diabolique Ball this last weekend and got to watch some incredible scenes. And I think one of the elements that people often are completely unaware of, if they've never been to something like that, is the amount of aftercare. But, mm-hmm. like, after, you know, somebody has just spent 45 minutes taking rulers and Cat O' Nine Tails and floggers and, like, pipes and all sorts of stuff over somebody's backside, they spend a pretty good amount of time cuddling.
Yeah.
Like, the amount
of,
like...
Plus, you gotta put some lotion on that butt.
Yeah. Hurts. The amount of, like, support and, like, affection and, like... Mm-hmm. Because that... You know, there's not actually a connection between, like, abuse and, like, being interested in an S&M. But, you know, the reasons that it is interesting to people and arousing to people do have stuff back in your animal brain.
Yeah.
And, like, your early love mapping sort of stuff. And so you really do need to have that positive reinforcement of loving and...
You say early love mapping. I wrote a blog post about an ode to Morticia Adams. Because, like, I love Morticia Adams. When I was a kid, like, I idolized Morticia and Gomez... that relationship, and you know they had kinky sex, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, like, they were,
they talked about it.
Yeah, they do. Like, I think in the beginning of the movie she says you were a wild animal, you were unhinged, do it again. I'm like, damn, that's hot. Like, I since I was younger, it was just like, I guess that was just something that I saw in a relationship that I really liked.
Well, because they were so clearly into each other.
Oh yeah,
you know, like,
wanted to do it all the time.
June and Ward Cleaver, great, they look lovely, but do you think that they really were, like, into it?
No.
You know, did he just really want to lift up that little skirt?
No.
Like,
he just wanted her to cook dinner and then watch the kid. No. Gomez, like, looks at Morticia and he's just like, I want to, like, take your clothes off right now. And it's just, I love it.
Yeah, they have so much passion for each other. And they also are a functional couple raising a family together.
Raising some nice children. That's why I love it.
With a big house and, you know, they're well-to-do, you know. They've got live-in servants.
Gomez is a little crazy, but that's fine. They all are.
Everybody's a little crazy. You just have to find somebody with compatible crazy. That's really all it is.
Yeah. But the S&M is just like, a lot of guys I feel are intimidated by that.
Yeah. And I think that it's also like, there's this great comedy video called Piss. And it's all about, like, this girl who wants to get pissed on and her boyfriend is a like women's studies major and he's just like, I can't, you know, like, aww. I can't be degrade, like, I spend my whole, yeah, life trying to fight against this misogyny and, like, this hatred of women, and, like, you want me to call you a bitch and, like, piss on you, and, like, I can't, you know, the cognitive dissonance.
No, poor guy.
Like, it's well,
no, I understand,
obviously.
That, yeah. I once had a boyfriend that would not sleep with me doggy style because he felt it was too degrading.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. I was just like, but but if guys, if girl asks you to do something and then you feel like, oh, I feel like that's degrading you, but, like, she's asking you to do it. So that means that she trusts you enough to degrade her.
That is what feminism is being able to make the choice. If you find a degrading that somebody would respect, okay, you find that degrading, we won't do the thing that you find degrading. And if somebody's like, this is what I want to do, this, she has the autonomy, she's, yes, like, smart, independent agent, she can choose what
she
wants to do.
If she wants you to, yeah, write the word whore and lipstick over her forehead, just do it. She's asking you to.
It makes her happy. And this is where I have, like, I get in Tumblr fights with people, which is just embarrassing.
Oh, Tumblr fights.
But I get in Tumblr fights with sex negative, like, radical feminists, because it's like, why are we fighting about this? And there's just this sex negativism, because it's like, because, and I get it, like, theoretically, because the whole system is patriarchal, and because of the systemic inequalities, like, we never can be even, and, you know, like, so it's not, nobody really is free to choose, because it's all, you know, blah blah blah. And I'm like, but, like, how are we gonna actually in real life make things better if we don't let women choose what they want to do?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, it's another thing I find with porn. A lot of women, they're just like, oh, you watch porn, but don't you find it degrading? Like, isn't it terrible? And I'm like, I pick and choose what I want to watch. And I you know, it's make-believe, but, like, people feel like girls watching porn is like, hypocritical. And I'm like, that's stupid.
And it does depend on the porn.
Yeah, it does. But, like, if a girl wants to be degraded and she chooses to be degraded, that should be, you know, her prerogative and her position. And there is all this things going on, even in the geek world of feminism. Like, the second you criticize a woman for something that she does, you're an anti-feminist. So I'm criticizing women for being like, porn is fine, being degraded is fine. But, and it's just like the whole discussion of, if you're feminist, if you're not feminist, like, if you have women's rights, you don't have women's rights. It's kind of starting to eat itself on the internet. So don't get upset if people get in Tumblr fights with you, because usually they're just like, I have an opinion too, and I'm going to yell it. So we got some backlash for some of the stuff that we did, but it's hard. I think everyone just needs to stop thinking, you know, men are one way, women are one way, and we need to think sexually. People like these things, and people like that things, and it's just, as long as no one's hurting one another physically or emotionally, that should just be the only concern that anyone has. Not of how you portray people in porn or how you portray people in the sex industry. It just should be two consenting adults wanting to do what they want to do.
I think that the whole conversation around, like, Measure B in LA brought a lot of this stuff. Like, are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, so Measure B was up for the vote in November in LA, and it was a rule that would mandate that condoms had to be worn by men in porn, anything shot in LA. Now, like, on the face, it seems like, okay, so this is specifically to combat, you know, the spread of HIV amongst this population, because there was, you know, incidents of performers getting HIV outside of shooting, and then, you know, possibly bringing it to other people at work and wanting to maintain a safe work environment. But this law was drafted without actually checking with any of the performers. Do you think that this is an effective means? Do you have any input on how we could best protect workers in your industry? They don't get any input from the actual workers. So, of course, the workers come back and say, look, like, I get where you're coming from here, but a lot of this stuff, you really don't understand how it works. So, like, if you're shooting a really long scene and you're getting fucked for a long time, condoms actually make it way harder to work. And so we would like to have the option, you know, to decide for ourselves what is best for our bodies when we're shooting these scenes. And, like, if you're going to propose, you know, rules that are to protect us as workers, maybe make sure that we have, you know, ample privacy and restrooms and breaks, and that, you know, you can choose the performers that you work with and stuff like that. Do that sort of thing, because we're not mandating anybody get tested. Like, in real life, your actual real people spread HIV at a higher rate than porn performers do.
Yeah.
So, like, we're not mandating average people get tested. So why would we mandate these particular people? They're not necessarily having sex with more people than other folks in LA.
Yeah.
They're just doing it for money and on film. So, you know, it just brought up all these, like, okay, coming in from the outside and forcing, you know, rules under the guise of, like, health that, like, kind of look like they would make sense, but, you know, maybe actually check with people about what they want to do. And, you know, they might have some insights into their own job.
Did they just stop?
It totally passed.
It totally passed.
So there's going to be a couple of things that are going to happen. Like, one is that people are going to shoot in other places.
Well, from a media standpoint, like, thinking about that, I actually think watching guys put condoms on in porn is beneficial, because maybe young little 17-year-old, 16-year-old boys that are watching porn will then think that putting condoms on, because like when they watch sex and it's, you know, bareback, they're thinking that's all they want to do is like, oh, I don't want to wear condoms. But, you know, if there's a lot of porn with a lot of condoms in them,
yeah,
maybe guys will want to wrap it up a little bit more than they do.
There should, I mean, I agree that there should be lots of porn with condoms. I think that it's a really good idea to have condoms used in porn for educational reasons and, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, so you can enjoy it and feel less anxiety about, you know, the performer's health. But the mandate is the problem. Oh, yeah.
Mandating anything is a terrible idea.
Yeah. Like, just, yes, condoms, yes, normalizing condoms, but not telling people what they can and can't do with their bodies.
The porn industry is going to have a terrible time filming, because usually most of the stuff is porn is a film down in California, right?
A lot of it is, but there are other places. There, in fact, there's a lot of filming around Philly. Mm-hmm. There's a surprising amount on the main line and in Philadelphia. And there's some other...
We all know. We've trolled Craigslist for jobs, and that's all that's out there.
there's also going to be, like, some rigmarole with, like, part of Measure B also was that they were going to have to pay more for the production to be done in LA. They were going to have to pay, like, a fee so that people could randomly come by and make sure the condoms are being used, you know, to make sure that it was being implemented, the rules being implemented. So, you know, it's also just possibly a little bit more cost effective to shoot someplace else. So,
yeah,
since it's just in that county, I guess just go to the next county.
It does sound a little time consuming having someone come over to your set and be like, is everyone wearing condoms here? Everyone? Even the cameraman? Okay, good.
Yeah, it's like, it's an interesting line. And I remember, like, yeah, I started as a sexuality educator, like, condoms, 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 condoms. What are you talking about, sex without a condom? Like, that's craziness. Mm-hmm. But then I started having conversations with people who were like, but ultimately, all of our work is about people making their own decisions in their sex lives. And if somebody chooses to not use a condom, let's say in the context of a monogamous relationship or not, like, how do we then give them the best information about staying safe anyway? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the other things we can tell them about, like, what time of month to have sex without getting pregnant, or, like, you know, just lots of other stuff, like how to make it comfortable, etc. I don't know.
Rib for her pleasure. Ew. That's all I think of when I hear the condoms. Wayne's World.
Gotta go back and watch the movie.
Oh, that's so good.
All right. So on that note, we have run to the end of our time. So, Joe, you're awesome.
Oh, thanks.
This is awesome.
You're awesome, too.
Aww. So tell the people where they can find out more about you and about your stuff.
People, go to joepincushion.com. We have lots of cool articles. We have the podcast up there every Wednesday. You can follow me on Twitter at joepincushion. And, you know, feel free to, like, if you want to talk about something on my podcast, if you would like to come to my podcast, I would love to have you. Email thepincushionpodcast@gmail.com. We look for bands. So if you're in a band and you want to share your music, go ahead, send it along. It'd be fun. I swear. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure people will see more of me. Hopefully, that's the plan. You'll see more of me around Philadelphia and beyond.
So now you can be super hipster about it and be like, I knew about Joe Pincushion before
way before she got huge.
Yeah. I knew about NSYNC before they were popular. No,
you didn't.
No, that was a lie. However, I did see Wolf Mother at North Star, which I feel is about the most, like,
that's the hipsterest thing ever.
That is the best I can do. That is all I got. That's all I got. Everything else from there is just super mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joe Pincushion, thank you so much.
Thanks for being on the show.
And thank you everyone for listening. And have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimarree@gmail.com. And thank you.